have a scripture in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. Pardon me, chapter 10. And I don't want to speak long. And I'm looking at the Good Samaritan story, which we know well. I just want to read the last part of it. Well, let's start at 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to the inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay you. Well, this is a parable that we all love very much, but I want to just speak toward the latter part of it. Our brother John was talking about activities in the assembly, whether it's ministering or whether it's worshiping or praising, all of these types of things. And there's many others which many saints do, whether they're brothers or sisters or young people. Those that are there that have a real interest in helping the saints and anybody else perhaps going out in the gospel. Well, it says here, and of course the Samaritan is the Lord Jesus, and perhaps his own beast is the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit brings us to the assembly, the beast brings us to the assembly. There is found the innkeeper, who again is the Holy Spirit. And I think of that line of the hymn that says, and relates to the hymn we sang at the start, the Holy Ghost is leading home to the Lamb, his bride. But I was thinking right at the very end, the Lord says, take care of him. He's brought him to the assembly. And he asked the assembly, as it were, to take care of that newborn soul. And the promise is, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And if you and I do something in the assembly or outside the assembly, if it's a private thing, the Lord is not going to be any man's debtor. Whatever little thing we do, the Lord is going to pay us back, isn't he? Now, that's not why we do it. We do it because we're interested in helping the Lord's people or in giving out the gospel and pleasing the Lord. But as we end up here, the thought, when I come again. And that's a marvelous thought, and it's a thought that all of us need to keep in our minds. I'm going to turn to that hymn that we had, 208, for just a moment, and look at a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to sit down. I will not speak long. 208. In hope we lift our wishful, longing eyes, waiting to see the morning star arise. How bright, how gladsome will his advent be before the sun shines forth in majesty. The whole hymn is so lovely, but I won't continue it. But the Lord is just about to come. As we step along life's pathway, we're going to lift one foot in our step, and we're not going to put it down. The Lord's, it'll be the shout from the glory, and we'll be swept away. And whatever we're doing at that time, it will be left behind. And we're going to be with the Lord for all eternity. Just to think that we're going to look into the blessed face of the man that died for us, that face that was so marred more than any man. Turn quickly to Genesis 24, again the last half of that story. which is so sweet, where Abraham sends his elder servant out back to his homeland, or the land of his where he was born, to bring a bride back for Isaac. We know this well, too. I want to go right to the end. Verse 58, Genesis 24 and verse 58. And so, down near the end of the chapter, Rebekah's relatives are here, and they called Rebekah and said unto this man, said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." And they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those that hate thee." And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, which means the well of the living and seeing one, and he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after her mother's death. You know, we're just about at this point now. Maybe this afternoon we may not finish the meeting. And we see this company coming across the desert. They didn't take the long way round as Abraham was directed to do, and he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees. He went up the gorgeous Euphrates Valley, which was so green to Haran, and then back down into Israel. But here the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, as it were, this elder servant, is leading Rebekah and her group right straight across the desert. And that's where we're being led this afternoon on our way home to heaven. We're being led straight across the desert. And young person or older person, if that means nothing to you, I wonder if you're saved at all. If you're just hearing the words here and saying, "Boy, Norm Wood, I wish you'd just go sit down." If it doesn't ring in your heart, are you saved at all? The Savior that suffered so for us on Calvary's cross, we're just about to see him. And here we are in Rebekah's place. And a lovely verse 64, "And Rebekah lifted up her eyes." You know, that's something we get to do every Sunday morning, every Lord's Day morning, if you will. At the breaking of bread, we come in to remember our Lord Jesus, the best of all meetings. And our hearts are tuned as various brothers, led by the Holy Spirit, pick out lovely scriptures and lovely hymns, and there's lovely prayers said, and it just lifts up our eyes and our hearts to the glory. And the same thing at a conference like this, where the brethren have invited us, and the Holy Spirit has gathered us together, and there's different things, different ones says, that touches our hearts right in here. And our love for the Lord, it rises up, and our spirits rise up, and we think about him, we think about his coming, and our thoughts are gathered away from this world to the glory. Well, here, Rebekah lifts up her eyes away from the desert, looking on to this one that she's been told so much about. You know, Adrian Roach, her brother, years ago, used to often ask the question, what do you think that the elder servant occupied Rebekah with when she crossed the desert? And his answer was this, "Oh, I'm sure The elder servant was telling her all about Isaac. And you know, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing for us this afternoon and during these meetings and other times, our private readings, as we fellowship one with the other. The Holy Spirit is bringing out lovely things about the Lord Jesus. Well, here Rebecca lifts up her eyes. You know, we're looking ahead to this wedding that we're going to take part in. That's going to occur so very soon in the glory. And you know, I was thinking oftentimes our meeting rooms have a porch and a door into the porch, and then the aisle goes straight up like to the podium here. And it's just, you know, if we could visualize that this afternoon, that wedding party is almost on the porch. They're just about to step into the porch. It's that close, isn't it, brother? We're just about to be called home. And then we're in very soon into Revelation chapter 5. What a marvelous thing that is. Now, verse or two in Song of Solomon. Just another minute or two. Song of Solomon. You know, I sometimes think the Song of Solomon, which brings our Lord before us pictorially. I know it's a picture of the earthly bride, but if it's that marvelous for the earthly bride, how much more marvelous is it for the heavenly bride? I want to read just, verse 8, chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 8. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. He's just about to come. And you know, it says, he's cometh leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. That reminds us of real problems. Problems which occur in our lives. There are mountains before us. We wonder how we're going to get around it, how we're going to climb that mountain. But here the Lord is skipping over those mountains, over those hills. There's absolutely no problem that will keep the Lord from coming for us. All right, on to verse 10. My beloved spake and said unto me, the Lord Jesus, the King of glory, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Does it sound like he's interested? You know, we have some couples here at the conference, which is so nice to see. And we can tell if they're really in love. You can see it in their eyes and how they affect one another. And it's so marvelous to see that. And so here we have that, the Lord of glory, as it were, so in love with his bride. He says, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Aren't those beautiful words? Shouldn't we, our hearts, respond to that kind of words? Rise up, my loved one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. You know, I sometimes think our lives are divided into the four seasons of the calendar. When we're born, it's a spring. And as we get into our teens, perhaps it's late spring. And then as we're adults, at the full bloom of manhood and womanhood, it's summer. Then as we get into the fall, you know, the white starts here and there's harvest. Life is drawing to an end. And then the winter approaches. And that's not so good. Some here have felt the fierce winds of winter already. But you know, the spring is coming again. And there's no question here that spring speaks of the Lord's coming. And you know, we're just about into spring in the Lord's timetable, I really believe. Let's read it. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. Isn't that something? The winter of old age and all the problems. And I'm not saying that maybe youngsters don't feel winter too. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. Now, we don't have turtle doves on our feeder, but we have mourning doves, and they're very similar. Now, here's this beautiful picture of spring approaching. I know it's talking about the millennium here, but we'll transpose that and think about what we're going to experience when we get to heaven. The fig tree put forth her green figs, that would be Israel, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Over to one last verse, Song of Solomon 4 and 6. And this talks about, at least we can read into this, the Lord's coming too. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. You know, we're just about there. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Well, you know, the day is just about to break. The night of this dark world is just about over. The morning star is in the sky. The promise of his coming. And it's starting to get light, so the shadows are fleeing away. And what are we to be doing at this time? I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Well, there's no question, is there, what myrrh speaks of. We read about the three gifts of the wise men to the Lord as they came so far and followed the star. Their myrrh speaks of suffering, and that speaks of Calvary's cross. And the hill of frankincense, doesn't that speak about the Lord's beautiful life down here? Well, brethren, until the daybreak, which is going to happen so soon, that's where we should be, shouldn't we? We should be occupied as often as we can with the Lord, his beauties, and the fact of Calvary, that terrible, awful suffering there, the marvelous victory that means so much to us, that and his coming. You know, Hebrews 10 and 37 says, he that shall come will come and will not tarry.